We thank you for the things you've shown us this morning, as you've opened up your heart to us and encouraged us. And I pray for Alan now that you bless his preparation, and by your Spirit you anoint the words, that we might be encouraged and lifted up. Be with him and guide him through his talk this morning. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Thanks, Stephen. We'll just get set up here. I left something at my seat, which is important. Thank you for everybody who shared. Okay, we're going to go a few thousand miles away. And you see, that's a picture of our nation. We're going to start in Iraq. It is on, guys. I'm not sure how. There we go. Yep, there we are. Right, this is the city of Mosul in Iraq. It's been in the news a few times recently. But I'm not showing you that because of today. If there's a laser pointer on this, I'm going to try and... No, there isn't. Can you see there's a funny shape in there? You can see this is the River Tigris down at the bottom left, going about 45 degrees, and another wiggly river joins it. That's the River Khoser. But can you see there's kind of a strange empty bit at the top there, and it goes down to a pointy bit at the bottom there? Can you see that? Yeah. Well, that's an ancient city. Next one, please, guys. Called Nebi Yunas in Assyria. Do I point this at you or do I point it at the screen? Okay, thank you. No, I guess you'll have to do it for me. If you just flick it through. This city, I wanted you to try and give me some answers as to what the city is. It was founded by Nimrod, who was a great grandson of Noah. So only a few years after the flood, the city was founded. Next one, please, Steve. And it was, in its time, the largest city in the world. And it became a center for pagan worship of the goddess Ishtar, that you might see as Ashtaroth sometimes in the New Testament. Next one, please. In 765 BC, it had a plague. Thank you. I had to switch it on. It'll be plain sailing from now on. There we go, look, it's working. In 763 BC, it had a solar eclipse. Hey, this is great, I love it now. In 759 BC, it had another plague. And in 755 BC, it had a minor earthquake. So, although it had been going probably for a couple of thousand years at least at this time, stuff started to go slightly wrong. And in 755 BC, about then, a guy turned up. He was a bit gloomy, this guy. Smelt slightly of fish. When I read his book, it really helped me, actually, to do the bits that he says in the Nior accent, but I'm not going to do it now. He was actually called Yunas. We know him as Jonah. Okay? And that city, city that we saw, the boundaries still exist today, is Nineveh. Still exists, even though it was founded only a few decades after the flood. So why am I going to talk to you about a gloomy guy who turned up at a city that had had some bad things happen to it? Well, I'm going to give you a potted version of the book of Jonah. You can catch up with it at home. It's only a short read. 4 chapters. Do it in the EO voice. You'll love it. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to cry out against it. So he decided he wasn't going to do that, just like Ron said about Moses. I'm not going to go. So he got on a ship and he went the other direction towards Tarshish. But God sent a great storm, and the guys, the crew on the ship, were pretty upset about this. They started chucking everything overboard to lighten the ship. Didn't do any good. And then they found Jonah, who was fast asleep in the hold, and he said, "I'm the cause of the storm because I'm running away from God.
So you better throw me over the side into the sea."
That's my best Eeyore accent. They didn't want to do it, but eventually they did do it because there was nothing else and the ship was going to sink. And as soon as they threw him into the drink, the storm stopped. They became believers. All of them. They made vows to God. They became believers in God. Of course, Jonah didn't know this because he was in underwater, right? But they all became believers. That was a real opportunity. Everyone who shared an opportunity, didn't they? Isn't that wonderful? We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. And Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Now, don't come and tell me that whales are mammals and stuff like that. It's a fish. It's a big animal that lives in the sea. We don't know any more about it than that, right? And he's not the only guy who's been swallowed by a fish or a whale. If you look back at the old histories of when men used to go after whales in rowing boats, a few of them got swallowed by whales as well. And a few of them got thrown up again. While he was in the whale, he didn't really have much else to do apart from think about what he'd done wrong, and he decided that he would actually repent and say, "Yeah, okay, I will do what you asked me to do, Lord." And the reason he smelt slightly of fish was he got vomited up by the fish onto the dry land. And God said, again, "Go to Nineveh and proclaim what I will tell you to proclaim." He didn't know what he had to say. He just knew he had to go to Nineveh and say whatever God told him. Just like the people who were sharing before took an opportunity, listened to what God said and said something. Nineveh, as we saw, was a great city. That walled area that we saw, that wasn't the whole city. There was lots of other sort of overspill all around it, along the banks of the Tigris and the Kosa rivers. It took 3 days to walk through it, according to the Bible. Not sure if that's because it was kind of difficult to get through or because it was really large. But anyway, he started and he walked into Nineveh going, "Yeah, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." When I meet him in heaven, I'm going to ask him, "Jonah, were you a really gloomy guy?" I mean, he won't be in heaven, will he? But I'm going to ask him because it just makes sense to me. But, you know, anyway, 40 days' time, this city will be destroyed. And after the first day, all of them repented, from the king down. They'd had all this stuff happening, so they knew things were wrong. They'd had the earthquake. They'd had two plagues. They'd had a partial eclipse, a solar eclipse. And God changed his mind. And he didn't destroy the city, and we can see it today. On that satellite shot of Mosul, you can see the walls of Nineveh today. But Jonah, because he was gloomy, got annoyed. We'll come back to him being a bit annoyed later on, but just do you see, all Jonah did was to do the one thing that God told him to do and say the one thing God told him to say. And God did the rest. Even though he might have been a bit gloomy, Jonah is the only minor prophet that Jesus refers to. Reading from Matthew 12, I've got the New American Standard. You can read it off the screen. You can follow it in your Bibles if you want. "Some of the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign. And yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah, the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." So Jesus used the example of the repentance of the population of Nineveh to say that God was also offering that chance to the nation of Judea. Parallel passage in Luke. Another reference that Jesus makes to Jonah. In Matthew 16, the Pharisees and Sadducees came up testing Jesus. They asked him to show them a sign from heaven, but he replied to them, "When it's evening, you say, 'It'll be fair weather because the sky's red.' And in the morning, there'll be a storm today because the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah." And he left them and went away. So basically, it's the second time he said this to them. "You need to repent, guys," is what he's saying. Obviously, I didn't say that, but Jonah was 3 days inside the fish. Jesus was 3 days in the tomb. It's the same thing, the same sign. However, after his resurrection, the temple authorities continued to resist Jesus' words, and they persecuted his church. There was no sign of repentance there from the nation of Judea. In fact, what happened in 66 AD, Judea rebelled against the Romans. And in 70 AD, Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed by the Romans, by General Titus's army under the rule of Emperor Vespasian. The nation was deported into slavery, and the church was dispersed among the nations, and the gospel was spread.